Genesis chapter 18, if you want to turn there for my text this morning. Genesis chapter 18. If you have a pew Bible, you'll find it on page 18. Genesis chapter 18, and I want to read the first 16 verses. And the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant, but let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, and after that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And he said unto them, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a son which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, but she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. The Lord Jesus Christ had taken up to himself a human body. Two angels had taken on a human body, and they come here and sat with Abraham under this tree. Now, they tell us, and I imagine this is so even in some places to this very day, in these countries, back then in the Old Testament especially, it was ingrained in the custom of these people that if they saw any person traveling, that they would literally plead with them to come in and spend some time refreshing themselves, washing their feet, and feeding them. And I imagine that's so because Lot, when the two angels had taken the human form just after this, and he pleaded with them to come in to his house and dwell there. So there's no doubt that this was a custom of old for men to entertain one another like Abraham did these men here. But I earnestly believe that the Holy Spirit has something else in mind to teach us from this passage and not just affirm to us an old custom that these people had. These things are meant to teach us vital lessons, to encourage us and to give us comfort. One of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament concerning the Old Testament is Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, where the Apostle Paul said, Those things which were written aforehand were written that we may learn them, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So I think the Holy Spirit has put this in here, this little incident in here, to teach us something. And that's what I want to look at this morning, just a few minutes. And the title of my message this morning, A Tree to Rest Under. A Tree to Rest Under. Come and rest yourselves under this tree. Now, I think we need to know, first of all, what does this tree represent to us? What is this tree? I think there's places in the New Testament that speak of a tree, and it helps us to understand why the Holy Spirit would put so many places in the Old Testament concerning a tree. And wonderful things, even miraculous things that took place in the Old Testament with trees. When we go to the New Testament, we read about a tree, don't we? Those apostles began to preach in the early book of Acts, and they preached about a tree. When the Lord had saved the apostle Paul, and the first message we have that man preached, he preached about a tree. And this is what Peter said about it. In Acts chapter 5, he said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Christ and Him crucified. This is this tree that Abraham and the Lord and these angels sat under. That's what it represents to us. Come and rest yourselves under this tree. When Peter went down to preach to the Gentiles, he preached about a tree. Listen to this. "We are witnesses of all things which Christ did in the land of the Jews and at Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." There's the tree, Christ and Him crucified. When the Apostle Paul preached the first message to the Gentiles, he said when he had fulfilled all things that were written of him, they took him down from the tree and put him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. So what does this tree represent to us? It represents to us Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him crucified. Now, I want you to turn to two or three scriptures with me, and I want us to see that. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 21. I want you to look in the Old Testament, a place where a tree is mentioned, and it's so important. And then we turn over to the New Testament in Galatians 3, and we can see the tree is Christ and Him crucified. Look what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, and look in verse 22. It's on page 281 in your pew Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 21, and look in verse 22. Look at this. If we hadn't had the New Testament to explain what this means, we may have never known. But the New Testament tells us plainly what this means. Now look in verse 22. "If a man have committed a sin worthy of death..." Now they didn't put you to death for everything. Some sins you had to pay money. Some sins you offered a sacrifice. Some sins they put you to death for. They caught you committing adultery, committing idolatry. Certain sins they put you to death for. So he says, if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, they're going to put him to death, and you hang him on a tree, crucify him, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree. Why? But thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged on a tree is accursed of God. And here's why they did that. That the land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And what he's saying, if you let men sin and they're not punished, they'll begin to sin presumptuously, and the land will be filled with wickedness. Justice must prevail. Therefore, if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, hang him on the cross, and when he's dead, take him down and put him in a sepulcher, And that'll make sure your land is not defiled. Now, what does that mean? How does that apply to the gospel? Is the gospel here? Well, look over in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, and look in verse 13. This is the tree. Look in verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's amazing, ain't it? Now, we could find that all the way over in the Old Testament in the day of Moses. And lo and behold, here is Christ and Him crucified. That's what it teaches us. Now, they didn't put you to death in the Old Testament for every sin that you committed. But you know something, brothers and sisters? Every sin that you and I commit is worthy of death. You may have a foolish thought and go on and think nothing about it. But you know that foolish thought is sin against God. And the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's how awful sin is before God. And the law, there's a law. God has a law. People don't read it very much. Sometimes we see the commandments hanging on somebody's wall, but God has put that law in a man's conscience. And that law says, thou shalt not do this. And when men do that, then they're cursed. When the law says, don't do that, and men do it anyway, they're cursed. They're cursed. And how in the world are we, who were born and lived under the curse of the law, how in the world are we going to be redeemed from that curse? And that's where the gospel comes in, isn't it? Christ, who knew no sin, Christ, who had no sin, was made a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law. And where did He do that? On a tree. On a tree. Look over here in another place. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. This is one of my favorite passages in all the Scriptures. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you'll find it on page 1322. 1322. Look at verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Look what he said. This is the most amazing passage of Scripture. Well, he said, look in verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in His mouth. Then how could God curse Him? Why did He die the death of a sinner if He had no sin? And He didn't. No guile was found in His mouth. We've said it often, haven't we? Christ didn't do anything for Himself. He just suffered for His own sins. He had none. But look at verse 23. Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him who judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body. Where? On the tree. On the tree. That we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You know what happened, brothers and sisters, on the tree? Nowhere else. Not in His birth, not in His life, not even in the garden, but on the tree. There was a transfer of sins. God took the sins of all His sheep, of all ages, and put them on His Son. Put them in His Son. And He bore those sins. He bore them on the tree. And look what he says in chapter 2. And look in verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You quoted it this morning, Wayne. God forbid that I should glory in anything save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is this tree then? Why does the Holy Spirit even mention this incident all the way back in the Old Testament? Come and rest yourself under this tree. What is that tree? That's Christ and Him crucified. There's where sin was transferred. There's where Christ suffered for sin upon the cross of Calvary. There's where He reconciled His people to God. On the tree. On the tree. Look back over to our text now. What is the tree? It's Christ and Him crucified. What is the invitation? Rest yourself under this tree. Ain't that a wonderful thought? Rest yourself under this tree, under Christ and Him crucified. There is a tree fit to rest under, to find shade, to find shelter. The Lord Jesus Himself and these angels and Abraham took a load off and rested themselves in the heat of the day. Do you notice that's where Abraham was sitting? In the tent door under this tree. And the Lord Jesus came in this body, and the angels came in the body, and it said, rest yourselves under this tree. They physically rested. I wonder what that tree looked like. You ever get that in your mind, seeing Abraham sitting there? I imagine when he saw that tree, he said, Sarah, we're pitching our tents right here. This tree's so big, it'll cover our tent and have a good cool yard. We can sit under this tree and rest ourselves. Boy, Christ and Him crucified is a place to sit down and rest your screaming conscience, is it not? It's a place to take a load of guilt and apprehensions of God's frown and God's judgment off of your conscience. Come and rest yourself under this tree. What is this tree? Christ and Him crucified. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. I tell you, there's no rest like soul rest, is there? You ever had your conscience screaming at you and you couldn't get it to quieten down? I mean, you tried everything. I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to make all these promises to God. I'm going to work harder. And you're just getting heavier. And your conscience is so heavy and you're afraid. And there ain't but one place to find rest for a guilty soul. That's under the tree. Come and bring your conscience, your guilty conscience, to Christ and Him crucified. And look out of yourself to Him who suffered for sin and atoned for iniquity. And there you'll find rest. Rest yourself under this tree. Listen to this. There's a place where sin has been punished. Sin has been punished. Justice has been satisfied. The wrath of God Almighty has been poured out until there is none left. No wrath left. No fury left in God. A place of forgiveness of all sin and where God's smile is seen and where God Himself is enjoyed. There's a place like that. Christ and Him crucified. That's where it is. I labored too, Wayne. You talk about you labored, an old silly religion. I labored there too. Had no rest either. I was always trying to find rest. That's why I was doing all those silly things, trying to find rest. I made restitutions for things I hadn't even done, trying to find rest for my conscience. But you know there's one place to rest a screaming conscience? That's Christ and Him crucified. His blood cleanses from all sin. Come and rest your soul. This is a place of rest. This is a place of acceptance with God. Rest yourself under this tree. Somebody may be here this morning and say, Bruce, you think there's room under this tree for me? You think I could come and rest? I'd say there's room there. I think this is a pretty big tree, wouldn't you? Covered Abraham's entire tent and his yard. I'd say a man could find a place here to rest. Come and rest your soul in Jesus and Him crucified. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. You know, I've been resting under this cross now for about 43 years. I found it a right cool place. It's a good, shady place to rest. The third thing is this. You'll see it here in verse 4. Under this tree is a place to wash your feet. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under this tree. Wash your feet. I tell you, in those days, they didn't wear shoes and socks like we have today. You can walk all day on a dusty road and take your shoes and socks off and your feet will still be clean. But back in those days, they wore sandals. Some of them went barefoot in them. They walked those dusty paths and those dusty roads. Their feet got filthy. That's why Abraham said, let us fetch some water and wash your feet. He was a good host, wasn't he? That's what a good host did. He brought water and you could wash your dirty feet. You think Abraham is going to outdo the Lord Jesus? You think Abraham is going to bring water to wash the feet of his friends and his Lord and the Lord of glory, not provide anything to wash the feet of His saints? I tell you, under this tree is not only a place to rest your soul, but I tell you, dear children of God, when you walk through this world, and it's a filthy place, ain't it? This world is a filthy place. You go off in the morning, you go to work, or you work around the house, you talk to neighbors. Everywhere we walk through in this world, we get our feet dirty, don't we? You come home of a night and there you've got dirty feet. And what are we to do? Well, here's the thing to do. When you get home and you say, oh, why in the world did I do that? Why in the world did I say that? Why in the world did I have an attitude like that? Oh, how filthy I am. How filthy I feel. Well, there's a pan to wash it. There's a fountain open to wash it. You don't have to go to bed guilty. You don't have to go to bed carrying that up on your conscience. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and, listen, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we just confess it, don't we? We don't have to hide it anymore. It's there, and we confess it. And boy, there's water to wash us. And I've never known a saint to walk through this dirty world and not get some of it on his feet. Come and sit under the tree and let a little water be fetched to wash your feet. Oh, aren't you glad for such a tree? Oh, you're glad for such a tree. Don't have to despair. We've got an advocate with a Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And His blood cleanses us from all sin. Well, I've just scattered my notes around here everywhere. This is worse than when my wife gets a hold of me. Look at the fourth thing. Look at the fourth thing. Under this tree is a place to comfort your heart. Look in verse 5. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. Comfort ye your hearts. asked Scott Richardson one time, a dear old friend of mine. He was very old then, reached the place where he wasn't pastoring any longer. And I was going through a rough time myself, and I said, Scott, does it ever get any easier? And he said, not for me. Not for me. Boy, this world can be a tough place, can it? It can be a tough place. I've had people to lie on me and tell things about me, about vital issues. Just lying on me. And that hurts. You know, it's been some little something, but boy, go off and lie on me and tell things, and it breaks my heart. And not only breaks my heart, sometimes it just makes me mad. And then sometimes I feel bitterness churning up in me. And that's dangerous. That's dangerous. But you know what? There's a place here under this tree that will comfort an afflicted heart. I remember when Israel was going through the wilderness and they came to the place called Shur, S-H-U-R. 3 days they went from that place out in the wilderness and found no water to drink. Man, they were thirsty. Out in the hot wilderness without water, they found a big pool of water. And somebody went and dove in it and got their hands up and they spit it all out. They said, we can't drink this. This is bitter. Oh, and they lifted up their voices and they cried and began to murmur, we can't drink the bitter water. And you know what the Lord did? The Bible says He showed Moses a tree. Now this is amazing. This is amazing. I've seen this water. I was down at Donnie Bell. He had a jug of some kind of dye, and he put in his big pond, and just 1 gallon turned that water so beautiful. So beautiful, greenish-blue water. But you can't drink it. The old cows are out in it cooling off, but you won't dare drink it. But the Lord showed Moses a tree, and He cut down that tree, and He cast it into the waters, and the Bible says the waters were made sweet. And they drank, and were satisfied. Boy, life can get like that, can't it? Life can get bitter. The most simple things in life can get bitter. You work at a job and it used to be such a joy to you. And for some reason or another, it becomes such a burden to you. And somewhat bitter. And sometimes right in our own family, strife can raise up and hard feelings. And what used to be a joy that you drank from so refreshed you becomes bitter right in the family. Even the things of the Lord, the worship, the service of the Lord that you used to rejoice in now becomes just a drudge and you do it out of duty. Hasn't some pleasant waters come bitter for you sometimes? Haven't they? Haven't your heart sometimes become so afflicted and wounded and sickly in your soul? Well, under this tree is a place that will comfort your heart. I don't hesitate to say this a minute because I've experienced this myself. And whatever situation I found myself in which it afflicted my heart, and this turned my heart inside out and hurt me, I have found in every situation that if I can bring the Lord Jesus and Him crucified right down into the midst of my circumstances, He takes those bitter waters and makes them sweet. I don't know how He does it, but He does it. And sometimes when I feel this bitterness springing up in my own heart and know that it can defile my conscience, Jesus Christ and Him crucified has healed my bitterness. He's healed my wounds, my soul. And I tell you, one of the ways that He did it, He gets me thinking straight. I start thinking, now listen, That person lied on me. Those people tell them things ain't right. I'm not guilty of that. Dad, bless it, I'm just not guilty of that. I'm just going to strike out. And then I see the cross. Then I begin to think, now wait a minute. Whatever anybody's done to me and sinned against me, it's nothing compared to what I've done to him. And who has sinned against him more than I have? Nobody. And is he bitter towards me? Does he hold it against me? Does he threaten me? Does he lash out at me? No. He in great love gave himself upon the tree to purge me from such sin. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends who have done so many things against him. That's love, isn't it? That's love. The Lord Jesus was telling Peter and those apostles, Peter's bragging about, Lord, they may betray you. It wouldn't surprise me if James and John betrayed you. I know those fellows. I've seen it in them. But Lord, not me. They'll have to kill me to separate me from you. And the Lord said, Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny that you even know me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Let not your heart be troubled. Ain't that wonderful? Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, this is a place of comfort, brothers and sisters. This is a place of rest for your soul when you see that Christ has bore your sins. It's a place that you can wash and stay clean. And it's a place of heart comfort. Heart comfort under this tree. Oh, rest yourself under this tree. You know what? We often think, well, when we come down to die, that's when I want comfort. But you know the comfort. It's not just dying. I want comfort when I come to die too and face eternity. But I need comfort right now, don't you? My heart needs comfort now. Heart trouble is the worst trouble you can have. Rest yourselves and comfort your hearts. Fifthly, here's something else, and this is an amazing thing. Under this tree, heaven and earth met together and held sweet communion. Isn't this wonderful? Here was the Lord of glory. Now, this was the Lord of glory. He had came down from heaven. And these two holy angels, these elect angels, was with him. Two of them. And who were they fellowshipping with? Who were they talking with? Abraham. What did Abraham say about himself in this very chapter? He said, I'm dust and ashes. So here's a marvelous thing. Under this tree, heaven and earth seems to become one in sweet, sweet communion, one with another. In the New Testament, every time that somebody saw an angel, the first thing the angel had to say to him, fear not. Don't be afraid. These are heavenly beings, aren't they? And the Lord of glory. And we're poor dust and ashes. But yet under this tree, in Christ and Him crucified, heaven and earth has been reconciled. We've been made friends. The enmity has been removed. And we can commune with God and with all the host of heaven and not be afraid. Oh, there was reverence. Oh, there was a holy reverence. Abraham ran in and said, sir, right quickly, fix the bread. He ran out quickly and got the fatty, the lamb, and had the servant to dress it. They were running around. But boy, there was a communion. Sarah was having trouble with unbelief.
But the Lord said, that ain't going to change my promise.
I'm going to come next year and you're going to have a son. I know you're having trouble with that, Sarah.
We said, you shall have a son.
What does the Bible say? In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, listen to this. Speaking of the tree. Speaking of the Lord Jesus. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, I say, were they be things in earth or things in heaven. Heaven and earth have been reconciled. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, through the cross, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. In Jesus Christ, there's no more enmity. It's been all taken away. And now even the holy angels can come down and sit with we poor sinners. And we don't have to be afraid of them. And we won't be afraid of them there. One big, united, reconciled family under this tree. Under this tree. You read sometimes Hebrews chapter 12 and you'll see that so. We've not come into a mouth that might be touched. Got the sound of the trumpet and the accusations. This do and you'll live, but break this and you'll die. We've come into Mount Zion, the city of the living God, unto God the judge of all the earth, unto innumerable angels, a company of angels, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. He's brought us together, hasn't He? That's why in heaven you'll see saints and angels singing His praises for all eternity. Heaven and earth made one. And lastly, think of this. Look here in verse 4 and 5 again in our text. Look at this again. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And then, after that, you shall pass on. After that, you shall pass on. Oh, children of God, this morning, let everything in your daily life, I mean everything in your daily life, all your activities, all your chores, all your studies, everything you do in your life, let it come after you sit under this tree. You can't enjoy God. You don't have the strength to live the Christian life. You don't have the strength to pass on and walk with God as dear children. But as you first come and sit under this tree and refresh your heart and find rest for your soul, we just can't live the Christian life except we live it in the power of Christ. Be strong in the Lord, and in the power of His might. Old John Bunyan says, I wouldn't dare see any man's face when I leave my bed until I've seen the face of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, that's good, isn't it? That's good. Come and sit under this tree. Rest yourself. Refresh yourself. Wash yourself. And then pass on. And you see how easy your journey will be. Much easier if you keep it in that order. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live this way. You want to know how the Apostle Paul lived? You know how he lived his life. You know how he went everywhere and labored and preached? He said, this is the way I live. I live my flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's a good rule of life, isn't it? Pass on then.
Let us pray.